Deuteronomy 7, I read from verse 1 to 4. I want us to read it together on the screen. Deuteronomy 7, 1 to 4. Let's read it in concert. 1, 2, go. Nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor their daughter to your son, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. May the Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. Please be seated, and I pray that none of us will be destroyed suddenly. In Jesus' mighty name. We continue on the series we started some weeks ago, overcoming the seven spirits that can hinder from achieving God's best, that will not allow brethren to enter into the promises of God. Praise the Lord. Today we are going to be looking at the part 5. And that's the Gergeshite. We're going to look at the Gergeshite spirit. What kind of spirit is a Gergeshite spirit? It's a mouthful. Saying that name itself is a mouthful. Gergeshites. It's like a curse. You this Gergeshite. Hallelujah. We're going to look at it, learn from it, and learn to overcome it by the grace of God. We know that all the spirits mentioned, they are descendants of Ham, descendants of Canaan, children of Canaan. Amen. I showed us that scripture. I won't have time to go back into that again today. Amen. We must understand that every spirit has a major characteristic. Amen. Has a major characteristic to it, but it can also be multidimensional in its nature. Predominantly, like I've said before, I'm not going to do a theological teaching and this and that. That's not the point of this teaching at all. So I'm just going to go straight in the best simple way I think will benefit us to understand it. Because if we go theological and you don't understand it, it means nothing. Praise the Lord. The Gergeshite spirit basically is a spirit of compromise. The spirit of compromise that exhibits itself in its carnality. You as a child of God, where are you where compromise is concerned? Where is the church of Jesus Christ where compromise is concerned? In Songs of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 15, it talks about little foxes that destroys the vine, compromising sins. These little foxes that can destroy the most important things in our lives, just like termites. They are tiny. But if you leave them to fester, they will eat a whole house. We need to pay attention to the sin of compromise. Why? Because compromise can make your Christian walk of no effect. We don't want that. Compromise is the disease of the church. It renders faith ineffective. And we have to do away with it. Somebody say amen. Amen. Some people say it's okay to compromise on your preferences. I don't know what preferences, because you have to qualify the preferences. But one thing I know is we must not allow ourselves to compromise on the principles of the Word of God. If you compromise on the Word of God, you are standing on nothing. You have nothing to stand on in the world, and especially in the presence of God. Compromise is a mockery on our faith. If we choose to compromise rather than go through pain and the sufferings that is attached to Christianity, you can't detach pain and suffering from our Christianity. Jesus said, if they persecuted him, what do you think will happen to you? Compromise brings the Word of God to disrepute. And we have a lot of it all over the place. Christians are not taking a stand. We are not taking a stand of faith. We are not taking a stand on the Word of God. We are shifting and shuffling. Shifting and shuffling. Shifting and shuffling. Just the one that pays us better is the one we want to flow with. What are you standing on, child of God? What standard do you have? Is your standard the standard of the world, or the standard of the world? We profess Christ, but our standard is a lower standard, a base standard. The Gagashai spirit operates to make believers shift their stand to satisfy the society, to satisfy political dictations, rather than to satisfy God who saved us. The church has compromised to the point whereby we don't even think about the return of Jesus anymore. It doesn't cross our minds. The belief that Jesus is returning is dead within us. Should I say, if Christ's return is not in your mind, it's probably because you don't believe he's coming again. And I want to announce to you today, Christ is coming again. It doesn't matter if you believe it. It doesn't matter who don't believe it. I know Jesus is coming again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When you get home, take time to read 2 Peter chapter 3. Read 2 Peter chapter 3 from the whole chapter. You have a better understanding of the kind of compromise that the world is living in today. Things we are doing is no longer with Christ in mind. Is with gain in mind. Fleshly gains. Personal gains. The Gagashai spirit has taken over the nations, especially so-called Christian nations. Christian nations whose leaders have sold the birthright of our children, the future of our children. They don't care anymore. They are not leaders in the fear of God, but leaders unto themselves. America has lost the gloss of God we trust. And many nations in Africa that are so spiritual, they say Nigeria is one of the most spiritual nations. But it's one of the most corrupt nations, one of the poorest nations. Because of compromise. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2, I'm going to read from verse 1 to 12. Revelation 2 from verse 1 to 12, when he came and spoke to the church at Pergamos, he said, and to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, this thing says he who has a sharp two-edged sword. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you. Antipas there means against all, against compromise. Where Satan dwells, he says, yes, you don't resist my name, you don't deny my name, but he says, but I have a few things against you. Lord, have mercy. Oh, he has done this, he has done that, he's doing well, but... He said, but I have a few things against you because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things compromised to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Thus, you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent or else I'll come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. I'll cut them in pieces. That's what it means. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, a pass. And on the stone, a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. The Pergamos church, they are people who profess the truth. Amen. They say the truth, but they allowed compromise to lead them in carnality. Every compromise against the word of God is a step into carnality. And the Bible says that a carnal mind is an enemy of God. Praise the Lord. Children of God don't want to suffer pain for their belief. Somebody like Antipas, he held on to the very end. We want the blessing. We don't want to go through the process. Jesus talked, these are the words of Jesus. He talked about the spirit of Balaam, the compromising prophet. The prophet who was contracted by Balak to curse the children of Israel. Four times he couldn't curse them. He had to bless them. Because him whom God has not cursed, no man can curse. Him whom God has blessed, no man can curse. Hallelujah. He tried, but he couldn't. He went back to Balak. If you give me everything that I'm asking you, money and stuff, I cannot curse them. I will only say what God said I should say. He could not curse them. But guess what? He gave Balak the advice of how to bring Israel down.
I can't crush them, but I can tell you how you can affect them. Praise the Lord. He advised Balak. Numbers 25. Or let's read Numbers 31 verse 6 first. And then we see where he did it in 25. Numbers 31, 16. Look, these women caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to trespass, to compromise against the Lord in the incident of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. What was the compromise? Numbers 25, verse 1 to 3. That's all I have time to read, because I have a lot of things to say. He says, now Israel remained in Achaia Grove, and the people began to commit adultery with the women of Moab. What was the advice of Balaam to Balak? Put women around them. Put other women around them. Let them be tempted by women. They will open the door to a curse. They will open the door. Indignation will enter into them. I remember what my father in the Lord told me many years ago when I was coming to the United States. He said, the Lord said he will bless you, but the only person that can stop you is you. He said, nobody can stop you. Nobody can stop your blessing. You are the only one that can stop your blessing. I'll never forget. Praise the Lord. They invited the people to the sacrifices of their God. Gullible. Compromise. They have the God that delivered them. They saw the plagues, the miracles, the signs, the wonders in Egypt. They saw the Red Sea open. They received manna every day. Quails were blown into their camp. Water followed them everywhere. There was nothing they needed that they did not see. Even in the daytime, they will see the cloud of glory that you and I can pray for from now till generation come, and we may not see. They will see the pillar of fire with their naked eyes. They saw the presence of God, yet they compromised. They went to sacrifice to other gods. We say we are a people of faith, but we are bowing down to other idols. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel was joined to Baal at Peor, and the anger of the Lord arose against them. Because of that, 24,000 died that God had to eliminate. God hates compromise of all forms. All forms of sexual immorality, God hates it. Hallelujah. God hates every form of sexual immorality, and those who say it doesn't matter, God hates them as well. Peter said, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15 to 19, they are forsaking the right way. They are forsaking the right way. They have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. The compromise of the prophets, the gullibility of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest. Professing, this is mine now, professing to be spiritual, but they are empty, empty, and empty. There are even men of God who deceive children of God. And what I found out is, children of God love to be deceived. They love to be told mysteries. Not the simplicity of the gospel, but mysteries. Mysteries that will put them, their mind in stupor. It says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true Proverbs, a dog returns to his vomit. You shudder at that when you see that. That's how God shudder when a child of God goes back to what he has been delivered from. Hallelujah. A soul that is a pig, having washed, to her wallowing in mire. What are the doctrines of the Nicolaitans? What is the doctrine of the Nicolaitans? The Nicolaitans' doctrine says, in Christ you are free to do anything you like without regard to any consequence. God loves you. God loves you regardless. Since you have confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior, you are free to do anything you like. That's the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And what did Jesus say? He says, I hate it. If you go back to Revelation chapter 2, this I have to read, quoting it. I came across it. One official in India, purportedly said, off the record one time, off record, but it's on record. He says, don't persecute Christians, or they will become strong and spread instead. Instead, wherever you find Christians grouped together, build cinemas, drinking halls, nightclubs, and gambling dens, and they will destroy themselves. He said, put those things around them. There is no barrier. They look right and left. They're gone. Spiritual compromise is not just choosing other gods to worship instead of Jesus. It's adding something else to Jesus. So it doesn't matter. You dilute it. You can dilute it. It's Kool-Aid. Dilute it. Coca-Cola, put water. It still look like Coke. Sprite, put water. It still look like Sprite. Fanta, put water. It still look like Fanta. Dilute it. You know some restaurants, you go and you say you want Coke. When you drink it, you know it's not. Come on, am I the only one? They are watered the Coke. It's Coke water. The one that Coke has not manufactured yet. You know? Diluted Christianity. Diluted faith. Diluted belief system. Christians are the most lawless people I have ever seen in my life. You don't see lawlessness in Muslims. You don't see it. Their appearance tells you already who they are. Isn't it? Their appearance already tells you who they are. Christians? Oh, we are the ones that will misbehave at work. I'm telling you the truth. Believers, they are the ones that will misbehave at work more than anybody else. Christians are the ones that will mess up opportunities that are presented to them. Christians are the ones who will not act. You hear people say, oh, we are believing God. They are not praying. They are not studying. They are not acting. We are believing God. We are trusting God. On what? On your imagination. On your imagination. People who even get it wrong. They get it wrong with their whole life. Face one direction, hit their head on the floor 5 times without fail. Christian, pray. Wake up and pray. 30 minutes, na lie. Study the word. I told you about a church I went to preach one Sunday. Very funny. The guy that was sent to pick me up, to take me to church where I'm going to preach, is playing Ebenezer Obey with me in the car. And he's taking me to church, the preacher, to go and preach. I had to say, hello, bro. Are we going to the same church? Is it the same church we are going? Christians have become gangster. At least we know a gangster is a gangster. Why is children of God behaving like gangsters? Spirit of compromise. Oh, God doesn't mind. Who says? Who says? You know, because judgment is not carried out speedily, well, it's okay. Well, if so and so can do it and get away with it, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Huh? What's wrong with me? The Bible says we are in the world, we are not of the world. But when you, as a child of God, allow the world to get into you, you are already sinking. Every sheep floats on the water, right? Sheep thrives on water. The moment water gets into the sheep, that sheep is going down. That sheep is going down. SOS. That sheep is going down. The moment you are filled with the word, why are you arguing about things of the world and not about the word of God? We are fighting about why we should be like the world, not why we should be different from the world. What does compromise say? Compromise says, you know I shouldn't do it, but why not? Others are doing it. That's why the Bible says that salvation is individual. God is not going to judge us collectively. It's going to be individual interview. How many of you want to be manager here? It's not like that. What qualifies you? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Compromise ignores the truth. Ignores the pain that will come from wrongdoing. What is a spiritual compromise? A spiritual compromise is accepting a lower moral standard that reduces and eventually kill our spiritual effectiveness. Exodus
Every compromise graduates to sin, but it begins with the mind. It begins in the mind. Think about it this way. Think of if food production industries, they compromise on sanitation in the production of food. They compromise once in a while. Think about how many people will be affected. Think about how many people will get sick. Think about how many people will die just because a company compromised. How many times have they withdrawn food that have gone out to supermarkets, that have gone out to big, big stores in tons and tons? Oh, they found salmonella. They have to recall everything because somebody compromised somewhere. You know that the FDA that we applaud, there are human beings there. They make mistakes. They compromise. In every chocolate you eat, they allow a certain percentage of rat poo. I'm saying so that you don't eat chocolate anymore. Praise the Lord. A lot of things. A lot of things. Huh? A lot of things. Even drug industries who have compromised. Drugs they made that will benefit humanity. In America, they will purposefully make it more expensive. In another country, you can buy it for $4. In America, you spend $1,500. Systemic destruction of the population. Oh, somebody said, oh, the way the population is going, there will be no more food. And people will be dying. So what do you want to do? You want to cool population? Kill them stylishly? Shouldn't we be producing more? Praise the Lord. May God have mercy on us. Let me quickly take us through 5 steps to spiritual compromise. Number 1 is refusal to purpose in our hearts to do the right thing, just like Daniel did. Daniel proposed in his heart, we are not doing it. His brethren joined him, we are not doing it. We are waiting on the Lord. Let the Lord be glorified in this. Refusal to purpose in your heart ahead. Not that, well, when it comes, I will see what I will do. When we get to that bridge, we see how we cross it. Before the bridge comes, before you get to the bridge, make up your mind if you are going to cross or not. Number 2, refusal to understand that temptation cannot be toyed with. Don't underestimate evil. I think it was PM preaching the other day here. Eating with the devil with a long spoon. Do you have to eat with the devil in the first place? Satan is smarter than you. Number 3, rationalizing the word of God with logic. Your brain, my brain, and the word of God, they don't match. Intellectual wisdom and wisdom of God, they are far apart. Number 4, refusal to weigh the costly consequences of our actions. Refusal, weigh it ahead. Think about who it's going to affect, how much it's going to affect you, and you are not the only one it's going to affect. It's going to affect your family, it's going to affect your friends, it's going to affect the church, it can affect your job. You see leaders in nations sinning, compromising,
committing adultery, fornication. They won't resign. Because somebody posted scripture on social media. They said, we cancel his contract. It's like in Nigeria. If you know how to steal, steal with a pen. If you steal a loaf of bread, you are going to jail for life. There are many people in jail. They stole what they are going to eat. But there are those who stole billions and billions of dollars. They are still parading themselves as politicians. Number five. Steps to spiritual compromise. Deliberately choosing to sin. May God have mercy. Amen. One of my senior pastors, Pastor Agu, in England, he posted something on Twitter. And I'm going to read. I quote, he first quoted John Wesley, the great revivalist. He says, what one generation tolerates, the next generation will embrace. What one generation tolerates, the next generation will embrace. We don't drink in our house. We don't drink alcohol. But then when friends come, go and buy beer. Give them. We don't drink, oh, but just to entertain people, we, guess what? Those children are going to grow up and start drinking alcohol. So Pastor Agu said, I quote, it will not always be popular to stand for the kingdom of God. It's not popular. May God give us the grace to do so for the sake of our children. To stand for the kingdom for the sake of our children. There is no day my wife and I, we don't discuss this about the future of our children. What kind of future, with the way the world is going, what kind of future is awaiting these kids? They have to be stronger in faith than we are. Because it's going to get worse. Except Jesus come. No wonder Jesus said, he has to come quickly. If not, even the elect, God have mercy. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2. Is somebody getting anything here? All right. Except for those who are not in church. Hebrews 2, 1 to 4. Therefore, we must give more earnest heed to the things we have heard, scriptural things, scriptural teachings, lest we drift away, lest we compromise. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. In Christ, we can overcome compromise. Jesus said in that Revelation chapter 2, verse 16, he said, repent, repent, or else I come to you quickly and will fight against them. Who can stand with Jesus in the battlefield? Who can stand in the same ring with Jesus? He said, I'll fight against them with the sword of my mouth. God have mercy. Judgment comes when we least expect. Believe me. Believe me. Compromise to your faith, compromise to obedience is eternally fatal.
it is eternally fatal. Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 27, whatever I tell you, 26 and 27, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. I'm actually reading 28. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Destinies have been destroyed silently by compromise. Silently, we are becoming more and more ineffective. We are not telling anybody about Jesus anymore because that same Jesus has died in us. Coming to worship God on Sunday is optional. Other things can take preeminence. So if Jesus is going to return today, where is he going to meet us? Where will we be? But every decay of compromise can be still revived back to life through repentance. Don't let your conscience decay. Like I've shared with the workers for 3 weeks now, our identity in Christ, our identity is only real in Christ. Any other identity is a fake one. And Jesus says, those who do not compromise, who keep the faith to the end, there is a crown of life waiting. He that hath an ear, let him hear. He says, I'll give him a stone with a new name. A name that nobody else knows, but the one who has received it. Because of my time, brethren, the Gagashach spirit is on rampage. It's a silent spirit. The day it came in into the palace of the king before Daniel and his brethren, it came in a grandiose way. The king wants to bless you. He wants you to eat from his table. And then after, you know, you have to stand before the king robust. It doesn't come harshly. It doesn't come fiercely. It just doesn't matter. It's just food. It's just food. Daniel said, we are proposing, we are not eating what is sacrificed to idols. Just give us vegetable and water. We'll be fine. After 10 days, check us out. Man shall not live by bread alone. By the word of God, the word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The word of God too can nourish the body. Praise the Lord. You know, some people can wear very expensive clothes, but you won't even know. Am I right? And some, it's just Target. And everybody like, oh, wow, you look nice. You look great. It's the glory. It's the glory of God. Even if your leg is paining you and you are walking, they think you are bouncing. It's the glory. Oh. May God have mercy on us. In Jesus' mighty name. Please rise up on your feet. I want you to talk to the Lord. Any area of my life that I've compromised, I've been compromising, have mercy on me. Forgive me. Forgive me.